Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Unipath India Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Monali Jain from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q3 and nine-month FY25 earnings call of Unipath India Limited. We have on the call Mr. Gurdeep Soni, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Paramjit Soni, Promoter, Executive Director and Vice Chairman, Ms. Tanushree Bagrodia, Director and Group Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Rohit Maheshwari, Group Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vivek Maheshwari, Vice President, Financial Planning and Analysis and Investor Relations. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I will now request Mr. Soni to take us through the financials and the business update, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Monali. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Quarter 3 FY25 earnings call of Unipath India Limited. Trust that all of you are doing very well. As the end market demand environment is being monitored closely, Unipath team continues to focus on operational endeavors, leveraging competitive strengths, including dual-shoring manufacturing and flexible delivery model, with onshore warehouses as well as proposed near-shoring options to optimize these opportunities emerging in the evolving operating environment. The Unipath team is navigating the challenging business environment cautiously and creatively while continuing its unwavering emphasis on our core strengths. The company's business continues to generate healthy cash flows, lending requisite strength to the balance sheet to propel growth ambitions organically and as well as inorganically. Let me now spend the next few minutes sharing thoughts with respect to the current operating environment and business highlights. Starting with the construction end market, as alluded during a couple of preceding quarterly con calls, there have been signs of softness in construction equipment end market in our key geographies globally. Our largest global customer is witnessing early to mid-double-digit decline in this segment. This impact on our sales to them is higher than that due to some impact of inventory destocking. The healthy rise in business relationship with the global leader in construction equipment, as well as another young account in Europe, is helping in offsetting some of the end market weakness. The net impact of end market weakness, partially offset by increased business with a couple of key clients, is about mid-teens decline year-on-year for Unipath in the construction segment. Coming to large ag, the demand sluggishness in large agricultural equipment is hurting overall short-term demand in the U.S. and Europe, with some additional element of inventory correction. However, this is also throwing some new opportunities which Unipath is working on. In fact, our relationship with a leading tractor OEM is gaining good traction, and we have got some new business with them. This is helping in offsetting the overall weakness in European end markets to some extent. Coming to the North America and Japan small agriculture equipment market, these are witnessing some further weakness in short term, while the small agriculture equipment market in Europe and India is stable to marginally positive. Our aftermarket segment is performing well post the inventory correction cycle, and that part of demand is seemingly normalizing now. This segment is likely to grow 25% to 30% year on year in this fiscal itself. The addition of new customer during our last fiscal, who is the second largest group of retail stores in North America, is helping this growth and has more room to grow. Sales run rate to this new account has been higher than anticipated. The company's balance sheet continues to be net debt free, with group net cash position at 208 crores. Business continues to witness healthy free cash flows at about 16% of revenues from operations during this reported quarter. The new award pipeline remains encouraging, with added traction in all product verticals, including PMP, large agricultural equipment assemblies, agricultural machinery in India, and high horsepower three-point linkage, as well as further geographical expansion in below 70 horsepower tractors is also gaining traction. The end market softness may have some bearing on the implementation timelines. And finally, active evaluation and engagement towards inorganic growth options continues. With this, before I hand over the mic to Vivek for financial details of the reported quarter, I wish to introduce Ms. Tanushree Bagrodia, who joined us in November as Group Chief Operating Officer, and she is also a member of our Board of Directors. She brings with her extensive experience across diverse geographies and sectors, spanning financial services, automotive, and startups. She will be in charge of Unipart's group-wide operations and customer service. Also, at this time, I place on record my sincere gratitude to the outgoing Group Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Sudhakar Kohli, for his valuable contributions and leadership. With this, I would like to hand over to Vivek Maheshwari to discuss the details of our financial performance during the reported quarter. Thanks, and over to you, Vivek.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, all. I would like to share following financial and business highlights of the quarter ending 31st December 2024. Revenue from operations for Q3 came in at rupees 208 crore, which is a quarter-on-quarter change of minus 13.7% and year-on-year change of minus 19.6%. Reported EBITDA for Q3 was rupees 37.2 crores, which is a quarter-on-quarter change of minus 11.1% and a year-on-year change of minus 16.1%, while the reported EBITDA margin was at 17.9% for the quarter. Operating cash flow generation for the quarter was approximately 46 crores. The net working capital, comprising of big three elements of inventory, accounts receivables and accounts payable, as number of days of trailing 12 months revenue from operations, stood at approximately 151 days as on 31st December of 2024. Net working capital during the quarter decreased by approximately rupees 21 crores. Unipart's balance sheet continues to be net debt free, with group net cash position at approximately 208 crores, as also alluded by sir. Cash outflow towards capex commitments during the quarter has been approximately 11 crores. Total new business award value during trailing 12 months has been approximately 203 crores, which represents annualized potential value of underlying projects. Inflationary pressure on operating costs remains in the medium term to be partially mitigated through operational efficiencies. Macro concerns over global economic slowdown, geopolitical uncertainties, evolving global trade tariffs environment, and impact of persistent inflation as well as elevated interest rate continues to be key monitorables. With this summary, I would like to hand the conference back to the moderator for question and answer session. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Rushab Shah from Bugalrog PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, you mentioned many times that top 10 customers that are in construction side outside of China, five are your customers, and you said that you are going to add further more. So what has happened? So have we progressed on that front?
Yes, sure. I can take that. So I think the bigger one that is moving along is our, as Gurdeep alluded in the call earlier, that our relationship with the largest one, Caterpillar, is really, really growing very rapidly. And I think the way we are executing new projects there has been very, very high. At the same time, I think we mentioned on our last call that we've taken some very large new awards on construction equipment from another large customer, which is for the Mexico operation, so as part of our nearshoring strategy. So in terms of the new business that we've taken in, like Vivek mentioned, about 203 crores of new business got awarded. I think a significant portion of that is coming from the construction equipment side and from these customers itself. So the relationship with them continues to be very, very robust.
My second question is, you are executing with many other divisions within Caterpillar. So earlier, it was just a building and construction product division. Now it is ground engagement tools division. And so there are different divisions of Caterpillar which are now getting on board. So how are we planning with other players also? Are we planning the same thing on like we are doing for Caterpillar?
We are quoting other players as well. I think everybody is looking. So we are at this time processing some very large RFQs with Case New Holland Construction as well. So we are processing these RFQs with all these other people and continue to grow horizontally within the existing ones as well. So that part of the strategy continues to remain.
With all the other players, sir?
Sorry?
No, with all the other players, we are doing the same strategy as Caterpillar, correct?
It's always a strategy. You first make an entry into a customer, and then you horizontally grow within them. So our entry points with other customers, those endeavors are going on. We are already in Kobelco. We're already working with Kubota on this. We're already working. We're trying to extend our relationship. We entered Case New Holland, and now we're trying to expand that relationship. So it continues on all fronts over here.
My third question is, you said that you basically know that the number of vehicles in the agriculture and construction equipment are limited. So they are not like automobiles. Hello? Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, please continue.
Yeah. So I'll repeat the question. You said that you basically know the number of vehicles in the agriculture and construction equipment are limited. They are not like automobiles. So your goal was to increase the content per vehicle. So what was it five years ago? What is it now? And how are you going to increase or maintain it going further?
So the way we are increasing, I can't answer with numbers what was it earlier and what is it now because it's different with every customer and different on every vehicle. But to give you a situation, we basically, from a strategy on every vehicle was, we had a strategy to turn around and say, "Hey, we are doing a three-point linkage on the below 70 horsepower, then we were going to go in the higher than greater than 70 horsepower tractors." And so this year, if you look at a lot of the new awards, they're coming from that part of the strategy. So a lot of new awards on three-point linkage are coming in from the greater than 70 horsepower tractors while we continue our geographic growth on the below 70 horsepower tractors. So for example, we've taken on some new accounts in Korea to do this, and we're expanding that. At the same time, on the construction equipment, again, we've expanded our capability for much larger size of parts and hence addressing the larger big size excavators and mining equipment as well. We have added more capabilities on the fabrication side of our business, which is not even a full platform just now, but if you remember from our earlier strategy, we had identified three platforms: PTO, fabrications, and hydraulics. So on the fabrication platform this year, we've had some very large awards on that side of the business. And these fabrications are also going on some of these vehicles. So you are basically adding more systems next to the existing system. So our strategy of shifting system boundaries continues to remain, and I think customers are preferring that because it helps them, you know, rationalize their supply chain even more. So we are getting more and more awards, and I think we are seeing a significant amount of traction on the fabrication side of business as more and more issues emerge with China. I think you will see more and more India come into that place.
Fine, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So this quarter has been the lowest sales and lowest PAT in last 15-18 quarters. And so quarter after quarter, we have been waiting for the revival in our industry, but we are not able to see. So by when you think we can go back to our earlier EBITDA margin of 21% and PAT of 14%? And what would be your guidance for FY26?
So Saumil, thank you for the question, and I agree with you. I think the kind of markets that I have seen, I've never seen in my three decades. Having said this, the good news is the worst is behind us now. I alluded to it in my last call as well to say, hey, quarter three is going to be lower, and after that we will start seeing the uptick. Even though the markets are still soft, so if you look at the construction market, that's still soft. For the large agricultural equipment market, that's still soft. The small tractor, and while it's still a little bit soft, at least the inventory correction has stopped over there. The aftermarket segment is really, really growing for us. Okay. As we go into this next quarter in Q4 itself, you will see the upswing happen. Part of that is seasonality as well, but the other part is you are seeing a lot of new projects come into line. So the key over here for us is, while the markets will do what they are doing, and I think we've got so much more new awards and new business going in, that as we go into our next year, a significant chunk of growth you will see come from the implementation of the new business. So even for the next year market, if I do the segmentation of what is going up, what is going down, even the markets are generally going down with our different segmentations in different geographies, we may see flat to maybe, you know, slow single digit of just the existing market growth. But I do believe we will see double digit, mid-teen kind of growth just purely from new business. So we will be outperforming the market completely. And so the last of the quarters, which was really, really low, is what we're thinking is over. Q4 is going to be better. I believe sequentially we will be significantly better than that. And the new projects, they'll start off, they'll kick off. So I do expect the first half of next fiscal year to, you'll start seeing the growth come in. And by the second half of fiscal, you will see the new projects really, really blooming. So that's how I see it just now.
Okay. And so basically Q4, you are saying that it would be the best quarter out of the three quarters which had gone by?
I think it will be it could be the second best between whatever we were in quarter one and quarter two. I think we will reach that point in any case. So you will see that swing back come over. And then I would imagine by the time we touch Q1 of next year, you will start to see the numbers go up further because of the new projects being implemented. The end markets are still tough. Some of the end markets will, because the large agricultural equipment and the construction, two segments are still tough. I believe the small tractor will start turning around in second half of next year, because it's already been 3 years now that it's down back to back. And I think that is going to turn around. Part of it is obviously related to some of the interest rate regimes. We will see how that plays out. But the entire squeezing of that market is all over. I've never seen a downturn so bad in so many years. But the good news is we've managed to go through it. We managed to still maintain, other than the operating leverage, still, you know, a reasonable EBITDA margin. And as soon as the thing turns around, you will start seeing immediately going back to the 20%, because that's just the operating leverage scenario, and I think we're prepared for our growth. The real good news is all the new business coming into play. And it's coming in exactly the strategic areas that we need them to. Even as you look at the global political environment with all the tariffs and everything, I think Uniparts is in a very good position because we strategically implemented all the tools. We implemented the global sourcing model earlier. We implemented the dual shore manufacturing, which is paying dividends. We are investing into the near shore manufacturing in Mexico now. So the number of options we are providing customers to be able to deal with all these challenges seamlessly, I think Uniparts may be unique in doing this. And hence the new business. I think we continue to keep focusing on it. So the worst is over, Soumen. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So since the base is also low, at least we can expect mid-teens kind of a revenue growth for next year.
I think so.
Okay. And so in last call, you mentioned that we are adding one more product line. So any updates on the same?
I think the fabrication business definitely is continuing to grow. Like I mentioned, we've added a few new products over there, and I think we're seeing more and more traction over there. And so that part is continuing. Even like Vivek alluded earlier, you know, the new customer we had added on the aftermarket with all the ex-new stores, they are performing much better, more and so they had about 800 stores, and originally maybe only 400, 450 of those had come on board. Now the rest of them are coming on board, so you continue to see higher growth over there. So with new product as well as new customers, I think it continues nicely. I mean, for you to see, you know, in the aftermarket in this year, if you're giving about, my guess is about close to between 25 to 30% of growth over last year, the market hasn't grown that much. So obviously we are way outperforming it. And that's a good margin business as well, so that's helping us.
Okay, so this is a new line business, I mean, fabrication?
Yeah, fabrications is coming from a lot of new products which are coming in. So fabrications, we're looking at to develop it more into a serious platform itself. I think there is a need opening up in these markets for this. And we are seeing a lot of interest from customers on that side. Fabrications on the attachment side itself. So again, it's synergistic to what we do. Like I said, already we are doing stuff which is attaching to the, which uses the vehicle and attaches equipment to it. And so now we're trying to see how we expand with more fabrications in the attachment space itself.
Okay. And so my final question is, are we following any dividend distribution policy? I mean, what we can expect every year?
I think our dividend distribution policy is stated and we are outperforming it every year. I think right now because the cash flows are very, very robust, and so while I'm maintaining some cash flow to see if I can fund some inorganic endeavors, but we are maintaining a very high dividend ratio. Vivek or Rohit, can you give the numbers on the dividend policy and the numbers that we've had, Vivek?
Yes, the stated policy is 25% of profit or above. While you know, this year itself, with the second interim dividend, the total dividend has been about 14 rupees or so, which is very close to the YTD EPS as well. So right now we are you know, giving out almost 90% of the profit because of the surplus cash.
Okay. Okay. So basically, okay, more than 25%. So this year it would be...
Yeah, we are doing more than 25. The stated policy is that, but currently we have no significant cash flows, so we are maintaining a healthy rate over there. So even despite the lower markets this year, I think our dividend this year is higher than last year as well. So.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The next question comes from Nikunj Doshi from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. It's nice to hear some positive note this conference call. So, congratulations on that. And we've seen recent resolution about this some 1500 odd crore we can land or something. So, are we looking at really large acquisition or something, or what is it for?
I can't really comment too much. I'm actively looking at acquisitions. I think it will be premature for me to give any numbers at this stage. But the acquisitions are going to be such that are I'm not for some very, very large things. We will manage stuff which is we can manage easily, which fits strategically. And so I think our goals of criteria of what we are looking for, what size we will look for, I think are pretty well defined. I think the company is sitting on some
1500 crore enabling resolution looks very large as well.
Yeah, the enabling resolution may be large, but I think we will be, for us, that's more an enabling thing. What I'm actually working on or what the team is working on is more at a situation where it will be strategically very positive to the company. Let's put it that way. All right?
And this acquisition we have been hearing for more than a year now. So is it still far away or we can expect in the near future?
Well, it's a very hard thing to answer. All I can say is it's been consuming a lot of our time. So, but we're putting a lot of effort into it. And I think, like with all these things, it's not done till it's done. But I think I can just tell you that the team is spending a lot of resources on it. All right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks. And all the best.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from Dev Chandra Ramani. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. We are guiding next year for around 15% revenue growth. Can you split this growth between small tractors, large tractors, aftermarket and construction? It would be helpful.
I think we have those numbers, but it's coming from all. The bigger growth is coming from two zones. It's the large tractor, the greater than 70 horsepower, which is where we said our focus used to be. So there's a very nice chunk of growth coming from there. There is a chunk of growth coming in from the PMP construction side with the nearshoring Mexico strategy as well. And also from the aftermarket and new products. The least growth is actually coming from the below 70 horsepower tractor because that we had high market shares in the first place. There we're seeing some growth come in geographically from markets like Korea and all that. But the bigger stuff is coming from our strategic areas where we had room to grow and also from new platforms and some fabrications and stuff like that. So, but it's coming, thankfully it's coming from all sides rather than just one side. And more importantly, you know, it's even the robustness of the delivery model with the amount that goes to the warehouse or through direct, I think that ratio is not changing significantly. It's the warehouse one still continues to grow, which was the better margin business in the first place. And thankfully, in this year, we've had the aftermarket grow, which also is a better margin business. So it's in areas there, I think, which are good for us.
Okay. But when I'm looking at our end customers, specifically within North America, I'm talking about tractor customers. So most of the customers are forecasting 2025, CY 2025, maybe somewhere around -5% to -10%. And even construction customers as well, specifically our largest customer within construction side. So that is forecasting 2025 at somewhere around 5-6% kind of revenue growth. So I'm just trying to reconcile the numbers. The contribution from new business would be significant. That's why we are forecasting for 15% growth, or we'll be gaining wallet share.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. It is, like I mentioned in my comments earlier, the existing business that I have is only going to give me, you know, flat to small low digit numbers. And frankly, a lot of that will also coming from the aftermarket as well. So the existing business on the OEM side is not going to drive the growth for me. The aftermarket is driving it. But the significant large one, if you factor that, like I want to say, the trailing 12 months, we've had about 203 crores of new awards. A significant portion of them, and this is the trailing 12 months, the data has been going up and up. And so once you start factoring that in and you look at maybe another 150 crores of growth coming from there, that gives you a lot of room to grow then, and that is what's going to drive it. So it's the efforts we were putting in on implementing new projects, getting in new projects during this time, I think you will now, the next year you will see us do better because of that. But that is traditional Uniparts. Traditional Uniparts is when the markets have gone down, we still outperform the markets to some extent, and it's difficult when the inventory correction happens, so you lose a little bit more. But during that period, we've tightened our belt. We made sure our margins are reasonably protected. It's very hard to protect 20% levels at that time, but protecting a 17 to 18% level is with that kind of downturn, I think the team has done a phenomenal job. Now, when the market kind of picks back up, even if the market is flat, we will outperform it with the new business. And then at the same time with that, the operating deleverage, which was causing an issue, some of it will go away and the margins creep back up. So as the market cycle, and then literally when the market is coming back, let's say in a year or two after that, you will see the cycle that we will continue to grow. And what have we done in the meantime? We are going to have implemented our Mexico strategy with the nearshoring. So another tool in the toolbox will be sitting when we are doing this.
Okay, so basically within base business, small tractors, large tractors and construction, we would be more or less flat to single digit. And since we have won so much business, specifically within last 1 year, that along with growth in aftermarket would be driving primarily this 15% guidance, which we are kind of projecting. That's the fair assumption, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the new business which is the key driver to this, not the markets. The markets are giving me flattish. Even though customers are down, the markets are flattish for me on the existing side. OEMs are actually down. Aftermarket is up, so consolidated mix is kind of, you know, a small 2 to 3% growth, but the bigger growth is coming in from the new business in the next year.
And within the new order events, which Vivek talked about, approximately 203 crores and on the basis of trailing 12 months, would it be possible to classify new orders on the basis of maybe agriculture versus construction?
I think we have all of that data, but I don't have it off the top of my head. You can coordinate with Vivek and get that, but we have all of that separately. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That's it from my side.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just wanted to know what is the delta between margin delta in aftermarket versus OEM?
So typically for us, the margin on the OEM, again, you know, the lowest margin I have is obviously the India OEM. So produce in India, sell in India has always been the lower margin. Produce in US and sell in US has also been the lower margin. I think for us, the direct export was our mid-level margins, and our warehouse model used to give us the better margins. But to separate between aftermarket and OEM, I believe the delta, I don't specifically look at it because we are more focused on our delivery model, but my consolidated guess is it's at least a 3 to 4% better margin on the aftermarket.
And sir, what would be the contribution of this sales from warehousing channels, of the all three channels like India versus local and warehousing? What is the mix of warehousing as of now, 9 months?
I believe it's in the region of 46 to 47% of our sales are coming from there.
And is this a function of slowdown in the market and could change when the cycle turns, or is it likely to be on this growing trajectory?
Say that again, Richa. I could not understand it.
So my question is that currently there is a down cycle and we have seen a substantial expansion in the mix of warehousing. Is this linked to cycle in some way? So when the cycle turns, this number could again normalize, because I think your warehousing has a better margin, right?
I think this is lesser to do with cycles. It's more to do with how customers look at their risk management. We've always said our global delivery model is the biggest thing we have, and that helps customers mitigate risk in global sourcing. And I think ever since COVID has occurred, this is front and center in all customer strategy, how they are going to mitigate risk. So like I told you earlier, we had the dual shore manufacturing, we had the warehouse solution here to take risk out. Now, with all the situation, customers were looking at a nearshore manufacturing, so we said, okay, we'll put something in Mexico with, for starters, and we've been going with that. As we have set up more and more, my gut sense is customers want suppliers to manage all of this. So do I see the warehouse model go a little bit higher? Strategically, the answer is yes. I believe the challenge is going to be more, what do you produce in a country, like produce in US and sell in US? I think that's going to be the challenge with the cost pressures that everybody will face. So I don't see that part growing as much. But then that was a lower margin business in any case. And the Indian market, again, is dependent on how the Indian market grows. So to me, the direct export business and the warehouse businesses, which are slightly better margins, are the ones which are projected to grow better strategically. And that's how, that's what I see longer term. So if you, when we, 3 years ago, we were sitting at about warehouse at maybe 42-43% of our sales. I said in 5 years we'll go to 47-48. Well, we already did 47 now. I didn't do anything to influence this. I can't take any credit for this or discredit for it, right? It is what the market did. But it's a testament to what I've been saying, that customers will move more towards a more risk-averse situation, asking the supply chain to manage this. And I think Uniparts does a good job at it.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you for that detailed answer. So my last question is, if you could just once highlight what kind of share you are looking at, you know, let's say FY26 in higher HP tractors. I think it goes in single digits. Is it going to change meaningfully? And second question is, I know you have not shared a lot of details for acquisition because it might be premature, but what kind of strategic fit you are looking at? Is it a geographical diversification or is it into the, a different kind of product?
No, we are, I've always said that we have two platforms, which is three-point linkage and PMP, and we had three identified platforms, PTO, hydraulic, and fabrications, and I think strategically we are looking at it to be in one of those. So it's not a bolt-on thing, it's something which will add more capabilities. It will leverage what we do with our existing customers, so I think we are looking at it in that context. And so it's got to be an additional platform. It is my, our goal that eventually we will drive revenues from multiple platforms. Right now, two platforms are giving us almost half and half of our sales, so that is risk mitigated. I'm hoping to add another third platform, which gives us at least, you know, maybe 25-30% of our sales. And as we go forward in another maybe 1 or 2 years, we'll add another platform. So to me, it's synchronous with the strategy where I said, expand system, shift system boundaries. Wherever our product goes just now, what's the next product next to it? Let's take that to the customers. Let's add more value per vehicle. So it's in sync with that. We are not changing course on our strategy at all.
Okay. And so if you could also answer that, you know, what kind of share you are looking at, let's say 2 to 3 years from now in higher HP tractors.
We haven't defined that as to what we are looking for as a share, but all our marketing efforts are going in that. And if I look at the business awards, and maybe Vivek can do some numbers with you later on that, but a significant chunk of the three-point linkage growth, that is the new business awards that have happened in this year, is coming from that only. Like I said, the, below 70 horsepower, there's some maybe geographical growth and because I already have high market shares in the US, so and in India we have a reasonable market share as well. So to me, I'm linked to the market to some extent in these geographies. And in the below 70, we were sitting at like, you know, more than 25% of the market share globally, whereas in the above 70 horsepower, we were in single digits 8-9. So over the next 5 years, could we be 20-25% of the market? The answer is yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mohammed Farooq Umair from Pearl Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. If you are using speaker mode, may we request to use the handset, please? We are not able to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
This is much better, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. Before I begin, I would like to take the moment to appreciate the management team for engaging with the shareholders.
Sir, even now, again, we are facing difficulties hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, please.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Okay. So I would like to appreciate the management for engaging with the shareholders. In the last conference call, I noticed how well prepared and confident you were despite the challenges, especially coming up right after the IPO. Your transparency and commitment to keep the investors informed are truly valued. Okay, so now coming to my question. In the last meeting, management mentioned that a decline in revenues from the top client has impacted Unipath's business. Could you provide an update on the performance of your most notable clients in the previous quarter, that is October to December? And additionally, how have orders intake trend evolved? And what visibility do you have on client demand heading into 2025?
Vivek, do you have the breakout on that, or you want me to do it?
Yeah, so Mohammed, I think there are few things that we can share with you, and most of it is public data. So one of our largest clients, and it's a public listed company, so has, you know, has been facing degrowth as well as the end markets are soft. So they pretty much on a revenue basis declined about 20% overall, and the larger chunk was coming from the agricultural market, and while also some part was coming from the construction market. And as sir alluded in one of our his responses earlier to another question, that the impact on our sales to them has been, in some segments, has been slightly more magnified because of some inventory destocking impact as well. So that's, you know, how it is going on. But having said that, also, you know, how the markets are now panning out, as sir elaborated a little earlier, you know, things are either close to bottoming out in certain segments, or there is some more downside in certain segments which may be witnessed in next 2 to 3 quarters before things become better.
Okay. Just to give you a sense, the large agricultural equipment, the pain is not fully gone, Mohammed. Some of that is still going to continue, and I think I alluded it earlier also, it's going to probably started. Construction has started the downturn. So when these cycles start, it takes about a year and a half for the cycle to get out of the way. The small tractor one, which had started as a cycle almost 2.5 years ago now, I would have expected, it's lasted longer than I expected. But anyway, I am seeing green shoots on that already come out now, that at least that is behind us. The aftermarket was more coming because of the logistical challenge caused with shipping disruptions and all that, and that cycle has gone through, all the inventories being cycled through, and so you're seeing some nice growth there. But two segments are still tough, the large agricultural equipment and the construction equipment. The good news is the new business awards over there. So despite the market doing what it's doing, I think the key is Unipath is going to outperform the markets completely.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, you know, given the current demand environment, could you provide an updated outlook for Q4 revenues and margin expectation? And additionally, with the US imposing 10% tariff on Chinese import, do you see an opportunity for Unipath to gain market share? Have you observed any meaningful sourcing shifting from American buyers looking to diversify their supply chain, and do you expect these to translate into stronger order flow?
The answer to your second question is very, very easy, yes. I think, again, but let's be careful with this. If the tariffs come on India as well, that's going to be a challenge, right? So,
yeah.
But at the same time, yes, here's the thing. I don't care where the tariffs go. And the reason for that is, wherever the tariffs go, Unipath is in a better position than anybody else to deal with it. If I need to ramp up in India, I'll ramp up in India. If I need to ramp up in the US, I'll ramp up in the US. If I need to do something And with a dual shore mix of that, we are able to do that. If I need to do something in Mexico, in 6 months' time, I will have that tool in my toolbox. And so we will have more tools in our toolbox than any of our competition or anybody else in this field. So to me, the really good thing is the strategy that we have implemented in HES. If there's a 10% tariff on China, you will see more growth. I'm already seeing increased stuff on all these new products. We were talking about fabrications earlier. I'm seeing a large shift happen because of that. So there's a threshold point that, well, once you cross that threshold point, suddenly a larger amount of business becomes available. I think that is coming. We can already sense it. How long do customers take to actually translate that? I think that's a moving target to some extent. But the number of RFQs we are processing just now on all of this is very, very high. Here's something else that I'm going to tell you. Most of our big OEM customers, and if you track any of this, you will realize that they are putting more and more people and staffing more and more people in India. It doesn't matter whether it's Deere, it doesn't matter whether it's KCR, it doesn't matter whether it's Caterpillar. Anybody and everybody is staffing their India operations more. And the reason they're doing it is this shift out of China to India, right? So I think the large corporations are moving in that direction. So before these wheels move, you have to set up the infrastructure to move it. I think that is already underway. So the second part of your question is very easy for me as to what is happening, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back. I forgot what the first one was. Can you repeat your first question to me again, please?
The current demand environment, could you provide an updated outlook for Q4 revenues and margins?
And so we already spoke a little bit about it. We said the large construction equipment and for next year, like I said, it's with the help of the aftermarket, I think we're outperforming. Otherwise, the OEMs are not doing well on this. They are actually going to be flat to negative. And because of that, our existing business is just going to grow maybe next year, 2%-3%, but we are driving the mid-teens growth there based on new business. So the existing demand is still soft, but despite the existing demand being soft, we are going to grow.
And are you going to maintain the margin or there will be a slight increase?
I believe the margin will improve because as we grow the business, the operating deleverage, which was sitting a little bit lower, is going to come back a bit.
Okay.
So I believe medium-term indication of the 20%+ remains. I think we're getting back to that.
Okay, that's good. You know, with this, with Uniparts India shares, in the last decline, like 50% from its high, despite the strong growth prospect outlined by the company. Do the promoters see there's any opportunity to increase the stake? Are there any plans for promoter stake enhancement to reinforce confidence among the investors?
We had considered that, but each time I try to do something, you get stuck where you can't do this or you can't do that, right? So there are so many laws around it. But to give you a sense, I would love to buy my own stock at this stage. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, when we know that there is a strong growth in the growth coming in, and you get it at 50% price now.
I know, I know. So I don't like it. I think it hurts people who invested in us, and it's fundamentally against my ethos to have that happen. So I'm going to be doing everything possible to see how this reverses quickly. I couldn't help what the markets did, but I think we're doing strategically what the right things for the business are. And I do believe as you continue to do this, it's a matter of this coming back. And I think we still have the confidence of our customers. The strategy is still strong. So ultimately, all the noise has to eliminate at some point. So that's how I see it, Mohammed. I think I don't look at it short-term like that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand, is there any update on the UTV, ATV, and some new projects that we were hopeful of getting new business from? So any update on that front?
Yes. So on the UTV, ATV, I had said last time that we had done the test pilot over there. It didn't take off as well, and we were extending some new marketing programs. So we have launched over there, a complete marketing campaign in the different stores over there. We've also now going to be launching our own online retail sales on that, as well as tools to take it to the dealer distributor market. So there are marketing efforts going on. So it is going to take time. The market is there, but it's taking me more time than I originally thought.
Right. And sir, also in recent times, steel prices are at 5-year low and rupees at all-time low. So are we seeing some benefit on the margin front, or do we have to pass on these benefits to our customers?
So in the main, the exchange rate with all these things used to be passed on. But what we've done has over the last few years is we tend to trade our, the inflation that occurs in India versus the exchange rate, we've tended to take that. So what it has done is, it's allowed us to compensate ourselves for all the inflationary movements that are happening. The fact that the Indian rupee is depreciating, I think obviously it keeps you competitive. But again, when I look at the depreciation of the Indian rupee versus the Chinese yuan, it's about the same. So is it relatively changing that? It's not. But overall, is it helping us compared to, let's say, U.S. manufacturing? Yes, India is definitely more competitive now with the U.S. dollar. So the foreign exchange shift in general is good, because otherwise for inflation, if you wanted to give price increases, that's not a good thing, right? So I think just the avoidance of that and still recovering inflation is going to help maintain or improve the margin slightly.
And so just wanted one clarification. You mentioned earlier that for the fourth quarter, you are expecting revenues between the first and the second quarter of this year. Is that correct?
That is what I said. Because somebody asked me, is it going to be the highest? I said no, but because the highest one was the first one, right? So I'm going to be somewhere in between those, and then it will come back out of that. All right?
Sure, sir. And so lastly, sir, you mentioned about the Mexico, sir. Are we planning to do some manufacturing over there, or it is just a stocking operation, warehousing?
Step one is stocking. And once that is stabilized, Mexico is a new working environment for us, so we want to learn about the environment before we make significant bigger investments there. But our teams has gathered way more information on what opportunities exist. But a lot of our customers, the bigger customers, are very excited that we are there. And they are throwing more opportunities at us because we've gone there. So, like, for example, Bobcat, like I'd alluded, they awarded us a $6.5 million business, which is going to start in January 2026. So it's not even – so some of the things that we were doing now, what we had done about a year ago, you're seeing the results now coming in for next year, where I'm telling you new business is going to drive better growth. Already the seeds for 26 are already being laid now, no? So all that is already happening. And as we do this in the second phase over there, if it makes sense to produce something in Mexico, we will consider it. My model is not going to be a low-cost country. My model is going to be best-cost country. If I can produce something in the U.S. cheaper than India, that's what I'm going to do. If India produces it cheaper than anywhere in the world, that's what we will do. If Mexico is a better place for a platform, that's what we will do. I'm not looking at a low-cost country solution. I'm only looking at a best-cost country solution.
Sure, sir. Also, we had entered Korea and Japan, sir. So any significant revenues expected from those new geographies?
Korea, we took a pretty nice award from a major customer there. So Korea grows. Japan continues. Japan is seeing a little bit of a slowdown just now. But our new business has come from there, but the existing markets are slowing down over there. But Korea, we are seeing some significant jumps. All based on new business. All based on new awards.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We continue to focus on our core strengths and build stronger business franchise by strategically partnering with our customers in their journey and success. Our focus and efforts are aligned towards achieving the targeted growth in coming years. With this, I would like to thank all of you for taking out your time for joining this call today. Thank you everyone and have a great evening and a weekend. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.